Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 29 of HER, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. Ooh, on this segment, we're going to be talking about, looking forward to Mondays, making work enjoyable. Ha! Mission impossible is what I say. Hey, listen, before we start this episode of HER, I want to make sure you know it's made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, please go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. Hey, and just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode to rate this podcast and also review us. I read these things. I love to hear from you. So please, please, please do this. All right, it's time for HER.
HER, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life. It's all about HER.
Looking forward to Mondays, making work enjoyable. Well, we have with us Dr. Kathy Jamison. She's a consultant, writer, workshop leader, and international speaker who's published 6 books and over 1,500 articles on all of the topics we're going to be talking about. This is about management, business, the work environment. She has a doctorate in management and more than 25 years of experience coaching organizations to good health. I always smile about that since I'm a doctor and I'm all about good health. Didn't know an organization had a cough or a hiccup every now and then too. And I'm glad to know we've got someone out there taking care of that. She has founded and built a multi-million dollar business on the principles she shares in her book and encourages others to lead abundant, fulfilling, joyful lives at work and at home. The title of her book, Creating a Healthy Work Environment. Kathy, welcome to the HER podcast.
Thank you so much. This is just an ultimate pleasure for me. Thank you so much. You are just a star in my life, and this is a great honor. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, you and I both know I wrote that book, Fit to Live, which became a Discovery Health television series, Could You Survive? And in it, I looked at mental, nutritional, physical, financial, and environmental elements of fitness, really bringing it all together holistically. And then here you come along with an incredibly powerful environmental influence that is front and center for the grand majority of people out there in HER podcast land. And that is the work environment.
Absolutely.
Good Lord, we spend more time there than with our, you know, our loved ones, family, and friends, for crying out loud. So in your book, you talk about, really looking at sort of the DNA of what is a healthy work environment. So what does that mean?
A healthy work environment is really a place where people go because they want to go there. It's an environment where people find, and I use these words on purpose, they seem flowery, but they're not. It's where people find joy and they find purpose and they find fulfillment, which is absolutely something that all generations are looking for, but certainly the generation of today is looking for. And if they don't find that in the workplace today, they won't stay. So the work environment today has to be conducive to relationships that are enjoyable, that are congenial, that are, in fact, and I'm going to use this word on purpose, that are fun. If people don't have fun at work today, again, they won't stay. If there's conflict, if there's issues that where there's not resolution, if there's inappropriate demands, if there's so much negativity, that it becomes dysfunctional. If people can't be healthy, if the stress of the work begins to cause harm mentally, nutritionally, physically, financially, or environmentally, and those areas of their lives begin to deteriorate, people simply can't stay there. But you flip that around, and if the owners, CEOs, the heads of an organization, the managers, whoever is driving or organizing or running a business, understands that if we take care of the people and if we get the people engaged in the organization, that those engaged people is what helps us to engage the clients, the customers, the people who are making the business thrive in the first place. And if they become, in essence, servant leaderships, that we're there to serve the people that are working there, and the healthier we make the employees or the team members, I prefer to call them, the healthier the organization is, the better the whole working world is. People will come and people will stay. Some people in the work world today, we have a negative attitude, and they say, oh, there's no good people out there. Well, that's just not true. There's a lot of good people out there. There's a lot of good people out there that are looking for a wonderful place to work. However, the data shows, the research shows, that 70% of people in America today are unhappy in the workplace. And I find that pathetic. That 70% of people in the workplace in America today are unhappy? Well, what's that about? And what can happen, or the question could be asked, could that be changed? Can that be changed? And obviously the whole purpose of my book are the principles behind leadership, the leadership, the teamwork, the communication of what it takes to create an environment where the people in the workplace can thrive. They can be creative. They are nurtured. They are encouraged. Their potential is desired, and in fact, they have a place where they can thrive. And in that kind of a place where people are encouraged and not just allowed, but encouraged to thrive, they can and they will.
I think a lot of women out there, you know, are listening to this and saying, oh my gosh, you know, it sounds like a dream to me. As you said in your book, right, you stressed communication, trust, appreciation, respect, accountability, pride in work well done, reward for work well done, engagement, be part of decision making. When there's a confrontation, do it with care, problem solving, as you mentioned before, you know, and of course, fun too. But what if you're in an environment where most of that is seems like totally mission impossible because, you know, you've got a micromanaging boss and you've got maybe tight budget crunches, and so that people, right, are stuck doing three people's worth of work and they're getting paid one salary, and it goes on and on and on. I'm sure a lot of women out there in her podcast land are just nodding their heads going, yeah, that's me. Where do they begin to make some kind of change?
I would totally appreciate if somebody would be saying, yeah, that's impossible. I've never found that. That wouldn't be possible for me. And so it's an excellent question. And I think it has to start with this whole change of attitude that I am a victim. I go into a workplace. There's nothing I can do. I go to work. I'm hired. I'm an employee. I'm only going to be able to do what they tell me to do. I'm only going to get the amount of money that they're going to give me. I'm not going to have a say. But if I step up to the plate and I make a decision that I'm going to be an asset to this organization, that I'm going to do all that's expected of me and a little bit more, that I am going to be become, just as I said, an asset to the organization, not to be pushy, not to overstep the limits, but to, again, do everything that's expected and more, and to show that I'm creative, to show that I have a true desire to be an asset, that I want to be productive for the organization, that I can come to work with a smile, that I can be gracious to each and every customer, each and every client, and that when I am with a customer, let's say, or with a client, and they enjoy being with me, and when I, let's say, make a sale because whoever I'm with likes being with me and we have a good exchange and I make a sale and they become more engaged with our business because I have been an engaged employee, and therein lies the equation. The more engaged an employee is, the more engaged a client will be. And the better I do that, and the more often I do that, the more valuable I become, because, of course, then the business becomes more productive, therefore the business becomes more profitable. Clients are retained, which is a key to profitability in any business, the issue of retention. And another thing that happens is if an employer sees the value of that and understands that if I can nurture the retention of quality people in my workplace, not only are they going to enhance the retention of clients, and our sales are going to go up, and less people are going to fall through the cracks, et cetera, et cetera, I'm going to have less turnover. And it costs a business about 1 year's salary. So whatever I might make in a year, if I'm a good employee, if I leave, it's going to cost about 1 year's salary to replace me. That takes into account the time up to when I leave, then replacing me, the training time to get me back up to speed, to know what I'm doing and do it in a quality time, et cetera, et cetera. So the cost of turnover is rampant in all businesses. So that it becomes another benefit in all three of those areas: increased productivity, increased profitability, and less turnover for me as an employer to really work on enhancing this concept of creating and developing engaged employees.
Well, let me ask you a question. Okay, so this is the HER podcast, and you've been talking about the employee. Let's go to the woman employee.
Yeah.
Okay, is there a difference when you've come into an organization to help them out to make it as healthy a work environment as possible? And you stress work within teams, you know, because the grand majority of people are involved in teams. You know, it's teamwork and team for the organization, et cetera. What are the particularly unique challenges a woman may have as she confronts a workplace and wants to be able to help create a healthy work environment versus a guy?
That's a very good question. I actually work probably more with women than with men, although I work with both. But a lot of times I will work with, I work a lot with healthcare teams. And so a lot of times it'll be a male, it's about equal now, male or female doctor in a but predominantly female team, although I work with other organizations as well. But so I see the women wanting to have more communication, wanting or perhaps needing more appreciation, more recognition for work well done, or just recognition at all, where sometimes the guys might say, and this is not necessarily universally true, but let's say employers may say, I hear this and it just kills me, but I hear this from time to time. Well, if I don't tell her she's doing a good job, if I don't tell her she's doing something wrong, then she should just surely know she's doing it right. And I said, well, no, that's not exactly the way human beings work. I have a PhD in management, but I also have a PhD in psychology because I thought I have a bachelor's degree in education and a master's degree and a PhD in psychology and a PhD in management, and I think the three go together. I thought, well, if we teach people well and we understand human behavior and then we manage our businesses by understanding human behavior, seems to make sense to me. Well, human beings function more effectively in a positive environment than they do in a negative environment, and the human being really no reinforcement at all. Well, if I don't tell her, if I don't say anything, if I don't reprimand her for poor behavior, then she should just know that she's doing it right. Well, that's really not true, because no reinforcement whatsoever is connoted by the human being as negative reinforcement. So that is one of the challenges that we see. The other thing that of course women in the workplace see is a lot of the responsibilities at home for children, that they may need more time off. They may have challenges of needing to have some flexibility to be with their children when their children are ill or they have needs with their children. And then so in today's workplace, there's just got to be some flexibility and some coordination between the teammates. And, I know I, as an employer, have known that we work together, that everyone has times when they need some special time with their families, and we share in that. And nobody takes advantage of it. If we all understand that there's times when we each need some special time with our families, I don't see people taking advantage of that, because we all cooperate. And if cooperation is the theme that people can abide by and no one takes advantage of it, then it works out pretty well. If someone begins to take advantage of it, then you move into confrontation with care and some problem solving, and you don't let it go by. If someone does start taking advantage of something and that is not, there is not a confrontation about it. And when I say confrontation, I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean to sit down, to state the problem, to talk about it, and to work on resolution. But if I don't work on resolution and the rest of the team sees that I'm letting somebody get away with something that is harmful to the rest of the team, then that becomes harmful to the rest of the people. The other thing.
So what is it? Well, hold on one second now,
because
you said something important, and that was the issue of confrontation. One of your chapters says confrontation with care. Now, again, men and women do this differently. Guys will kind of oftentimes, kind of go to a bit of a more direct, if not aggressive, stance, when there's a confrontation thing going on. But a woman does it differently. How does she do it differently?
Right. Well, I would agree with you totally and completely. And I would say that men, again, there are some differences. And there's two different ways that we see predominantly with men when they have a need to confront an issue. And I'd like to make that point, that I try to teach people that if there is a problem, let's look at the behavior, whatever it is that's going on that is unacceptable. It's not that you don't like the person, it's just that whatever is going on is unacceptable. And there's a big difference in those two things. So what's going on is unacceptable, and you've asked yourself, is what this person doing having a concrete negative effect on me or on my performance or on the performance of the team or on the company as a whole or whatever? And if the answer is yes, then you've got a problem, and therefore it needs to be addressed. And so that's kind of your benchmark question. And so if one of two things happen. Some men or some people will just ignore it. Some people think, well, I don't like what's going on. I don't like what she's doing, but I don't want to confront that. I don't want to the word confrontation scares some people to death. They would, like, walk around the world before they would confront someone because they think, man, I don't want to cause any more. I don't want to cause any conflict. I don't want anybody to cry. I'm afraid they'll leave. I think it'll cause more trouble than it's worth. Maybe it's not such a big deal. I'll just forget it. Well, it's not going to go away, more than likely. In fact, we run the risk of it only getting worse. So that's one way that people handle the conflict. Or just running down the hallway, somebody will say, hey, look, the way you were doing this was, like, terrible. Don't do that anymore. That was the worst. And you're blown against the wall, and you think, what? I didn't even know I was doing that. And so it shakes people up, and they didn't even know it. And so then people meet at the water cooler, and they say, now, do you know what happened? He just slammed me against the wall, like, threw me. Not physically, I don't mean physically, and told me I was doing this and this and this, and there was customers right across the way, and they didn't hear. And so they become very upset, and then they start grapevining. Then they tell this person tells this person. Well, there's nothing good comes from that. So confrontation with care means that you've asked yourself the question, like, something's going on that really isn't working. Something that is going on is not working. You're not getting the kind of results that you need or want. So you've asked yourself the question. I think it's one of the most important questions I've ever learned to ask myself, whether as an employer, as a mother, as a spouse, as a friend, is what this person doing having a concrete negative effect on me, on my performance, or on my ability to perform, or on the company as a whole? So I think that through, and I think, really it is. It just isn't working. Okay. So then I decide that we're going to discuss this, and not running down the hallway between appointments, or I'm not going to, like, call on the phone at night while she's trying to fix dinner or whatever. I'm going to say, Mary, I want to talk about the way we're scheduling our clients. It's just not exactly working well for me. I'm finding that it's just not working well. And I'd like to meet tomorrow over lunch. So I'm going to bring in some lunch tomorrow, and let's sit down to discuss the way we're scheduling. See if we can't work that out. So I'm going to tell her. I'm going to schedule a time to sit down with her, and I'm going to tell her what we're going to be talking about, so she doesn't stew about it for 24 hours. And then
Hold on now. I'm going to interrupt. Okay.
Yes, please.
Women out there, all right, are very, very prone to anxiety. I mean, it's a scientific fact that women are much more anxious than men, and actually they spend, half their life, over worrying and actually pre-worrying. And so I think that is a huge piece of the DNA of women in the workplace. Clearly, you and I both know that there's a wide spectrum of how this is manifested in the workplace. Some women don't have much of any of that going on. Other women are like, wall-to-wall anxiety.
Absolutely.
And they over-interpret absolutely everything. So I just think that's something really important for women, to kind of keep in mind as they're, thinking about issues of confrontation and really looking at problem solving, all the rest of it. So I want to circle back to something else, and that is, when we titled the segment Looking Forward to Mondays, Making Work Enjoyable, what I would like you to do is take your expertise here and then sort of succinctly put all of us in her podcast land into the mind of a woman as she's looking forward to Monday. How do you prepare yourself to do that? How do you make all of that work? How do you learn to be a leader, empower yourself to make a difference in the workplace, to create an environment of encouragement and satisfaction, all the things you bring out in your book? So let's go into the mind of someone who is looking forward to Monday.
First of all, if the environment is really, if the people on the team are clear about the expectation of their role, if they're very clear about what they're supposed to be doing and how, and they're given the respect and the honor to be given the amount of education that they need to be able to perform well, and I mean it, honored with the amount of education that they need to be able to perform well, and the feedback and the support that they need, the monitoring, the feedback, the appreciation. Employers think that money is the number one motivator of people in the workplace, and it is not. Appreciation is, according to more research projects than you can even imagine, appreciation is the number one motivator of people in the workplace, far more than money. Money's important. People have to put food on the table and a roof over their heads and gas in the car and shoes on the kids' feet. Money's important, but not nearly as important as appreciation. So if we create an environment where we recognize people for who they are and what they do, and even when someone's work is not meeting our expectation, but from a place of love and from a place of care, we honestly sit down with them from time to time when necessary. But if we've done a good enough job of helping them know what to do in the first place, we're not going to have to do that very often. But when you ask about when there is confrontation, can you have confrontation with care? Yes. And when we do that from a place that my goal is to help you do a better job, my job, my responsibility as your leader is to serve you. My responsibility and my goal as your leader is to help you be better. And together, we'll both be better. You're going to trust me.
Oh, boy. Now, on that beautiful note, I really think that you helped us understand how to be able to put this, you know, in perspective. You can look forward to Mondays. Yeah. There's no
that's
question
how you
about
look
it.
Forward to Monday.
Yeah,
that's
and
you
yes, you can you be a leader.
Yeah,
you can be a leader. You can empower yourself. I love this book. I want everyone out there to know that we're talking to Dr. Kathy Jamison, and she is the author of Creating a Healthy Work Environment. Yep, it's absolutely possible. It's not only possible, it's something that's going to help save you here. There's no question at all. So, yeah, every one of you out in her podcast land can indeed look forward to a Monday. No, it's not a cringeable moment anymore.
Absolutely.
Look forward to it. Embrace it and be empowered with that. Learn more about Dr. Jamison's wonderful work by going to her website, Kathy Jamison, that's JAMESON.com. Go to her Facebook as well, and that is author Kathy Jamison, and as well in her social media, her Twitter is at Jamison Kathy, and that's spelled with a C. Oh boy, we just loved it. Thank you, Kathy, for being on the Her Podcast. This is just wonderful. Love it, love it, love it. All right, everyone out there, remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please take 30 seconds and rate this podcast on iTunes. Why? Because we want to attract more people just like you to the show. And that happens when you take the time to rate it. While you're at it, please leave a review as well if you can, because I read these things. Love to hear from you. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD, and you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and please stay well.